Okay. Hi guys, welcome to Computer Science E75 Week 9 section. My name is Alex. And today we're going to go over, sort of give you guys a walkthrough for Project 3. So for Project 3, you guys have to create sort of like a mashup between Google Maps and BART, the Bay Area Rapid Transit. So I figured I can start off with typing sort of like a to-do list, just to list out the things that you guys have to do, and then we can go over each one of them. So the first thing is you guys have to embed a Google Map. Embed Google Map. And then after that, the spec says you have to center and zoom at San Francisco. Let's see. Then you have to place markers at the different subway stations. Four stations. Let's see, the next thing is you have to draw the polylines or just the routes for the different routes of the subway. And the spec also says that these polylines, these lines for the routes, have to show up with the correct color. So, with the correct color. Let's see. So the next thing is we have to cache the information from BART into some kind of database. So cache static info from BART. And then the next thing is we have to, after we have these information in our database, we have to, let's see. So the things that we're caching in our database are probably the stations and the routes, that things that don't change or things that shouldn't change. And then the things that we're querying from the api.bart website is like arrival time or departure time. So we have to query for dynamic info from BART. Let's see. And then the last thing is you have to allow users to click on these different stations, and after you click on them, there should be a text, some kind of dialog box that pops out and display the information about that station, about the times, the arrival time or the departure time. So the last thing is display.
Is that the same as the one before?
Sort of. So the one before, this the query for dynamic info, what I meant was just, you know, how to get the info. And then this last part is how to display this info on Google Map.
Okay.
Display query result in markers info window. Okay, so I think these are the bigger points that you have to take care of. Obviously, there are other smaller points that you have to be sure sort of, I guess. So one thing that comes to mind is when you click on one of the routes and then click on another one, you're not supposed to have both routes showing up. So these are the little things that you have to take care of. But let me just go over the bigger picture. So these are the bigger things that you guys have to do. So let's start from the top. So the first thing is we have to embed Google Map. So first of all, the website you guys have to go to is code.google.com/APIs/maps/documentation/javascript/reference.html. And I'll post all these different links in under the section so that you guys can have easy access to it if you need to go come back to these and refer back to these and review the details. Let's see. So when you get here, this is basically a reference to different things that you can do with Google Map. You should definitely be familiar with most of these, or at least know what's going on. A good starting point is by looking at, samples. Yeah, by looking at samples. hold on. Okay. So one starting point is we said that we need to embed a map in our website. So this map-simple.html, let me copy link location. What this does is it displays a map in our screen, and it zooms in, it centers at some point here. So to do that, we can view source. How do you view source in? All right, let me move over to Chrome. View source. Okay. So this is the source for displaying open tab, this map here. So the code says, let's start from the body. So the body, you need this onload equals initialize, which means when you first load the page, you want to initialize this map in your on your page. And the map needs an ID. So in this case, the ID is map underscore canvas. So in the function initialize, you're giving this this center dot the latitude and longitude of the dot. In this case, that dot is the coordinate is here. So for our project, we have to center this point into San Francisco. In case you guys don't know how to find the geocode or the coordinate for that point, if you're on, let's see, map.google.com. Let me zoom in a little. Just any point. Let's say if I want to, all right, someone help me out here. Where is?
South.
Okay.
You just went too south.
Did I?
Okay, up to the left.
Oh, found it. Okay. Okay. All right, so let's say if we want to zoom in at Japantown, we can right click on it and then say what's here. And, no, you don't say what's here. Center map here. Oh, yeah, you do say what's here. After I did that, the coordinate shows up on the top. Okay. Yeah, so. That saves you a lot of try and error trying to figure out, you know, put in maybe 100 comma 100 in the beginning and then try to figure out where to go. This is the faster way to go. So after you do that, let's see. So, let me go back.
Do we have some latitude in terms of how zoomed in we are? The bar covers a fairly large territory.
Yeah.
So you might want to be able to encompass the whole.
The question is, how far do you have to zoom in? And I guess that's up to you. So first of all, if you want to adjust how zoomed in you want to be, it will be in this options, this under this zoom. The higher the number, the more zoomed in you are. So you want to zoom in to a point where this entire BART map is obvious when you first load the screen. At the same time, you don't want to load it and then only see like a little dot in the middle for the entire map. So it's to your judgment, but figure out what's the best zoom and best center for the entire BART map.
Yeah, I actually went to the BART info and looked at its latitudes and longitudes for the stations.
Mm-hmm.
I picked the one in the middle there.
Yeah.
So I centered around that.
Yeah, so another way is to go to the BART map and then find out what the coordinate for latitude and longitude coordinate for the center of that map, and then use that as a coordinate. That's another way to do it. yeah, so the two main things are you want to make sure that this coordinate is correct and that you're properly zoomed in. And that should be, so this first part should be fairly easy. Maybe copy and paste this whole thing into your code. Another thing that you can take care of is, in this case, in our example here, we have the map as the entire page. If you want to adjust, let's say you only want the map to be three quarters of the page to the left, and you want some kind of white screen on the right, or let's say on top you want to display some kind of title for this page. You can do it with div style. Okay, so let's say open another one. I'll just type it at the bottom. So one way you guys can do it is say div within the ID equals map canvas. You can say style equals width. 75%. Height equals 75%, for example. So that's one way to do it. And there's no set rule or set rubric for this. So this is just up to your judgment to see what you think looks best for your website. Yeah, question.
Yeah. So presumably you could separate that style out into your, if you had an external CSS style sheet. There's no. I tried floating it and playing with it, and I had some trouble. So I didn't know if there was a particular, maybe I just made a mistake, but I didn't know if there was an issue with it. The style instruction for map canvas having to be within that div instruction.
Okay, so the question was whether you can put this CSS information in an external file. The answer is yes. So it works just like a regular CSS file, regular HTML page. Yeah. Okay, so let's move on. So maybe I should do this. So I'm going to bold everything. This one we've done. So the next thing is center and zoom. Oh, we've done that too. Center and zoom at San Francisco. Okay, next thing is place markers for the stations. So maybe I should move this one up, because to know where the station is, you have to first have those information. So maybe the next step is to cache the static information from BART. So how did you guys approach that, if you guys have tried it already?
So MySQL?
Okay, yeah. So one way is to store things in MySQL.
Yeah, just open the file directly and go in the BART and just a couple for each loops and throw it into MySQL.
Yeah, exactly. So you can go onto the BART website and then find out all the points for the stations, and then just download them somehow. It can be in a MySQL database, can be in maybe like a CSV file. Any kind of database will work. Just store this locally, because there's no point of retrieving this all the time, since it doesn't really change. Okay, so that was easy. And then the next thing is, I guess, easier said than done. The next thing is we have to place markers on the stations. So, let's see. Oh, before that, let me go back to Google Maps. So there's also controls that we can add. Let's see, what are the ones I want to go over? Control. OK, I'll just click on them to show you guys the difference, and then you guys can dive in and see what's the difference within the source code. So there's the simple. Hold on. Move everything to Chrome. Okay, so there's control simple, there's control options, and perhaps control positioning. So control simple is just just a page. There's this person here where you can sort of bring yourself into, I think that's the street view thing. Nothing really is going on in this simple, because it's the simple map. The other option is control options is there's this additional zoom in, zoom out ability for you to zoom in and zoom out. And then you can also add this slide bar for you to adjust how far you want to zoom in. The code for those should be fairly obvious in when you're viewing source. So let me just open the last two. Okay, so this is the source for this one. There's only the plus and minus, but without the sliding bars. let me open also this one. So this is view source. So this is source for the very, very simple map. It's exactly the same as the one that we had before. That's the first one. And then the second one, which is the control options, the one with the plus and minus. There's an additional, let's see where it is. It's the navigation control equals, navigation control set as true. I think that's the only thing. Navigation control. Yeah, navigation control set as, when set as false, you can't adjust the how far you want to zoom in part. So you want to set that as true. And then if you want this slide bar thing, you have to do more things. So let's see. So, okay. I guess you can just take a look at the source code and compare and contrast, and you'll see what are the codes necessary to make your map look good and function well. Okay, so all right. So the next thing was to add the markers. So markers are in marker-simple. And this is an example of having this balloon at Australia. So far, it's not clickable, but there's a balloon there. And the way to do that is by having, where is it? Here. So you want a marker equals new google.maps.marker, and then inside here you put in the positions. In this case, the position is defined over here. Okay, and this will be your different stations to put in the markers. And then once you have the, so in this case, the default marker is this balloon shape thing. A cool way to do it, it's not necessary, but I think it's pretty cool, is to perhaps change this icon into like a BART icon. So if we go to, api.bart.gov, let's see, stations, bart.gov/stations. Okay, doesn't matter. Okay, maybe using this BART icon as the balloon might look prettier. I don't think that's not a necessary part, but it makes your website look pretty. If you want to do that, it will be in, mark icon simple. In this case, in icon simple, where is it? Here the icon is a flag instead of the balloon. So icon, and then viewing the source. It's basically the same thing, except you need to add in, where is it? The icon of the image.
Oh, it's that beach flag.
Oh, yeah, right here. Yeah. Image equals image/beachflag.png. So it would be BART dot maybe JPEG or PNG in your case. So that's something that you can think about when you're implementing your website. Okay, so that was this, placing the marker for stations.
Question. So the notion is to have a flag on every one of the 43 stations?
Yeah, the question is...
At the same time?
I thought it was you pick a route and the markers would come up for the stations that are on the route.
Yeah, so let me...
That's what I thought it was.
That wasn't clear to me.
Let me double check the spec. So the spec says.
It's pretty crowded.
Yeah, exactly.
So this would be this part. Once selected, a route should be drawn as polylines on the map. So I wasn't thinking about this before, but now I'm thinking when it says you have to select one of the routes. I don't know if this means maybe on the sidebar you have different, I think that's what it means. On the sidebar, maybe you have all the different routes that you can click on.
I was thinking you'd have a drop-down menu or something.
Sure, a drop-down menu works too.
A lot of different ways to do
yeah,
that.
But it wouldn't be, you wouldn't directly go onto the map and then
right.
click on the routes or click on the stations. There'll be this option on the side where you say, oh, I want route one. You click on it, and then after you click on it, the route will show up, and then also the stations along the way will also show up. Yeah. Good question. So, okay, so drawing polylines. So polylines are here. Polyline simple. Polyline simple. And this is an example of the polyline. So it's nothing crazy. It's just a line, in this case, a red line.
There's two.
Oh, part map. Okay. Well, we'll look at this. So for your project 3, you would have to adjust the colors for red, orange, yellow, green, and blue. And that's it.
Orange.
And orange. And red. okay, so it's not this one. All right, so view source. So the important things are you need these coordinates to sort of connect the dots later on. So these will be your stations. And then you also need the stroke color. So this changes the color. In case you guys are not familiar with hex colors, these colors comes in, let me zoom in a little, because that's quite important. These colors come in RGB. What that means is the first two colors are representing red, the next two are green, and then the next two are blue for B. So in this case, this means there's FF, so a lot of red, no green, zero green, and zero blue. Hence, the color will be red. And so green would be 00 for red, FF for G for green, and then 00 for blue. And then if you want to figure out what yellow and orange are, you can do try and error, or yeah?
If this isn't revealing too much, in the BART API, it actually gives you the hex.
Oh, okay, the BART API gives you the color.
Yeah,
okay,
there.
Sure. Okay. darn it. Okay, so as a life skill, in case you guys do have to know a color, a way is to just Google hex color. And usually like the first one or two that pops out, the color schema is pretty good. So the website will show you different colors and you can select them. Let's see, so orange will probably be this one, which is FF6633. And then you can play around the colors this way. Okay, life skills. all right.
Can you go back to that?
This one? Which one?
The code that you had.
Oh, I killed it. Hold on. This one? For the polylines?
So it's gonna you define your flight plane coordinates,
uh-huh.
And it's gonna connect them 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 in that order.
Yeah, it's gonna connect them in order.
They have to be properly ordered.
Yeah, they have to be properly ordered. Otherwise, it'll be connecting everywhere.
Okay.
The other two are, I mean, self-explanatory. Opacity is how see-through you want your strokes are to be. Weight is how heavy or how thick. Just personal preference on those two. Any other questions on this? Okay, so the next thing.
Sorry, one more.
Yeah.
So how do they actually get drawn? So you have the flight path.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the command that actually draws?
Okay, the question is how do you, at what point does the line get drawn?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. So at this point, you're storing the coordinates into flight plane coordinates. And then...
your set map, is that it?
Flight path set map is the function.
Flight path set map. Where's set map?
It's down a little bit.
It's just before the end.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So if you do flight path set map, you'll be setting the map. Again, these are things in the source code that you can, if you don't get it down right now, you can go to these links and just review them. Shouldn't be too hard. Any other questions? Good? Okay. So the next thing is draw. So we've done that with the correct color. That's done. Let me make sure that. Oh, sorry, before we move on, there's this other thing that I found to be useful. API. Code APIs. JavaScripts. Oh, maybe not that useful. But there's actually this script that's written for maybe, I think this is the transit system in Chicago. And so this is slightly different, but the idea is the same. Let me zoom in here. And if you click on it, it'll show up a text screen that says blue line or red line. But this is implemented slightly differently because it's using the KML files, which I believe are the Google Earth. It touches upon the Google Earth APIs. It's something that you guys don't have to worry about. But I think this is kind of cool. And it's also very, very relevant to the things that you guys are doing for San Francisco. So I also put this link up so you guys can take a look at it later on. Okay, yeah, so the last thing is to query for info from BART. Is that the last thing? No. Query for information from BART. So to do that, we'll have to go to the Bay Area Rapid Transit website. Let me see, I don't know why this doesn't work. /docs. And so the website is api.bart.gov/docs/overview/index.aspx. And again, this is the more familiar you are with what BART API can do, the easier you will be, the easier the project will be. Let's see. So I think the things that are most relevant to you guys are first of all, you have to get an API validation key. So it's just like Google Earth before version 3. You would always need a validation key for your website before you can use it. Same thing for BART. So you need to click on this, and then here's like a registration page. So you just type in your information, and then you should get a key, I think, emailed to you.
So it's funny, they have a key that's used in some of their examples.
Yeah.
And anybody can use that key.
Yeah. The keys...
It's not personalized in any way.
Yeah, there are examples in BART that when you view the source, there's a key on it, and the key is not domain specific. So,
yeah, if you get into the terms and conditions, as long as you're not using it for a commercial app,
you can use the public one, you mean? Okay. So what he said is, if you're not using BART for commercial use, you can use the ones that's publicly available when you view source. Otherwise you have to register one. But it's free and it's pretty quick. Let's see. So overview will give you an overview. The things that you guys are that's relevant to you guys, I think, is this real-time estimates, because it shows the time for departure and arrival. And then command. So etd requests an estimated time of departure. So that's useful. And so this is how you would do it. Does it show up here? Okay. So the syntax will be, you need a command. So the command will be etd for estimated time of departure. Orig is where the station is starting. And you can look up the abbreviations here. And then the key is your API key. Platform and limit and direction. Yeah, so the last two, you don't really care, and they're also optional.
If you go down to the bottom of that page, you click on the link there, the one that has the key.
This one? Uh-huh, yeah.
Click on that, you actually get what the command looks like after it's all been formed.
Yep, so this is an example. If you set up these links like this, you would actually get back this request, which is, and then you can go into it and take out the information that you need. Let's see. So that's how you would get things from BART. Any questions on that? Again, just.
So I do.
Yeah.
Logistically now, so the person using this, in their browser, will go to a marker, click on a marker. Mm. Now, what happens under the covers is that. There's going to be some XML HTTP request that gets created, goes out to our server, and then whatever code we have running over there is going to go out to BART to get the real-time estimate, and then it's going to send it back.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the flow? Like, there's been some talk that you can't go straight to the BART to get it.
Oh.
You have to be, that's a question. Supposedly you need to go to the origin of the actual page that the
So you need to go into. You're saying that you need to go into your database first. That I actually don't know. I thought you can just send the request to BART. But
that's sort of what I've inferred from all the back and forth on this.
Uh-huh.
That static data is routes and stations.
Yeah.
The dynamic information is train arrivals and departures.
Uh-huh.
And that would be. The implication was that would be gotten from BART.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, straight away.
Yeah.
And that makes a lot of sense. But David had brought up that, there's something where, for security reasons, you may need to go to the source of whoever provided the page. And I might have just misunderstood what he was talking about.
The page.
I know what you mean.
What do you mean the source of the page?
So I downloaded this page, this HTML that has all the JavaScript. From the cloud,
mm-hmm.
right? Somebody has my page.
Mm-hmm.
Now, am I going to enable them to, go out to BART directly? And in case somebody has a fictitious BART out there and gives them garbage back that ends up destroying their machine, should they be going through whoever sourced the page to get the information, even the dynamic?
Okay.
I thought
interesting.
He talked about something like that, but it was a little fuzzy to me. I went through it really quick.
Me too.
Huh. Okay.
The same origin thing. The origin would have been the cloud, not BART. So, I guess maybe we can't solve it now, but I would like clarification on that, because obviously it's easiest to go out to BART,
But I thought, and I, again, I might have really misunderstood it. I thought David said that, you know, you have to go to the origin of the page to get the information.
Okay.
I might be way off.
So the discussion was on whether you have to go to the origin of the page first before you can reach out to the bar to send this request.
Right. Did you look into that for us?
Yeah, the answer is I don't know. So I'll look into it. I'll also check with David and Dan.
Yeah, was some
and then,
same origin. That was under the conversation topic was same origin.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. All right, so I'll check into the same origin topic and then email out to you guys. Yeah.
As a follow-on to that, so my understanding from what I've seen is that the BART information is all provided in XML format, right?
Mm-hmm. BART, yeah, BART is in XML format.
So the notion is that we're going to use some mechanism to parse through that data, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're going to...
XPath or...
Sure. So when you get all these XML data, you can use I guess XPath is the way to go since that's how you guys did the pizza XML project.
I actually used simple XML. I mean, you could do
sure.
You know, and I guess XPath is a piece of that. Uh-huh. I actually got it all just using simple XML.
Okay. Yeah. So simple XML, XPath. Anything that parses through an XML file to pull out the information, anything will work. Okay, where was I? No, not at all. Good questions. Query for, okay. So I think, so we were talking about this, how to query information from BART. And I think that was done. So the last thing is you have to display these results in these pop-up windows. Well, not really pop-up, but sort of like dialog windows. For those, we can go back to the Google Map API again, and then under, which one? Under info window. So info window dash simple gets us this. So zoom in on a balloon, clicking on it will show information about this location. And the underlying code is here. So let's see. So again, you place a marker. You can give it a title. The title, something I forgot to go over before. This title is the words that show up when I put my mouse over the place. So this text at the bottom, for camera, you can't really see, but this text at the bottom is Uluru, Ayers Rock, which is this information here under title. And then the string that you want to display is stored here. So var content string equals, and then you store the string as you would in like a HTML file. And then let's see. And then where was my marker? Info window. And then you need a variable info window to show what's the content to be displayed, which is the content string. And yeah, and then with that, you also need this. So this part says, this part is creating an event listener. And this event listener is waiting for you to click. In this case, you're clicking. There are other choices. So there's double click, there's mouse over, mouse away, etc. But in this case, when you click on this balloon, it says you want to open the info window from this marker. So that's something that you can put into your station and be able to display these dialog box that contains not just static info, but the departure time from that you're getting from the BART website.
And does that window just come up right where the the pop-up marker is?
Yep. So the yeah. So the when you click on it, this window will just pop up to like the top right area by default. That you don't. It's not. You can change this to like a pop to the bottom right or pop to different directions. But the default setup is good enough. So in here should be Uluru Station. The next train is at 7:20 p.m. The next one is 7:35, etc. And that's it. Any other questions you guys have? Okay, yeah, so that's basically it. It sounds, it shouldn't be too intimidating. Like I said, once you understand what's going on with the Google Map API and how you can retrieve information from the BART API. And then, yeah, just make sure that your website is not buggy, because any additional, any functionality that you add to your website will be checking on your correctness on that. So let's say, for example, you want to add, just for the heck of it, a buying ticket option, or like a lookup ticket price option, but that extra option doesn't work. We'll have to take out points for correctness. So there was misunderstanding on that for past projects. These additional functionalities, they have to work, which sort of, I guess, works against, it sounds like it's working against the purpose of having a project where you're supposed to learn from it. So that's something that you have to watch out for. They don't give you extra credit, unfortunately. The spec says your website has to be completely functional, and anything dysfunctional, even though it's not specified on the spec, will be points off on either correctness, design, or style. So make sure you take care on that. The other thing is, I think on the spec it says that you can, over here at the bottom. Okay, so the last line says you can incorporate snippets of the code from the web that you can find, but make sure that if you do, cite the source. So, for example, cite, if you're copying the code for creating the very simple map on your website from map-simple, if you're just copying and pasting code from there, you should say, you know, this is where I got the code from. Or if you're including, I think images is also something you have to be careful of. So if you take any image from the website, you should say this image is taken from, and then put in the source as comments. Okay, I think that's all that I planned for today. Again, if you have questions, help at csvd.net or CS75-fall-2010 or some kind of combination of the three words at googlegroups.com. We'll reach out to the entire class and open for discussion. Yeah, so that's it. And I think today, if I'm not mistaken, today is the last section. We'll also have office hours between now and the deadline of the project. So if you guys feel like there's a need to ask questions in person, Sid and I and maybe Dan will try to set up a time to meet with you guys. All right, thank you so much, and have a nice day.